This podcast is brought to you by Avocado Mattress. And if healthy, comfortable sleep matters to you, this is one organic brand worth knowing. That's because what you sleep on actually matters.
Most mattresses rely on synthetic foams and chemical materials that trap heat, break down over time, or off-gas. Avocado does it differently. Their mattresses are handcrafted with natural materials, organic latex, organic wool, and organic cotton. Designed to be naturally cooling, incredibly supportive, and long-lasting. They're certified organic by GOTS and meet multiple non-toxic and safety certifications. Made for people who care about their health and the environment without sacrificing comfort. I love that Avocado proves you don't have to choose between comfortable, supportive sleep and your values. And now, during our Earth Month sale, you can get up to 15% off Avocado mattresses. Just go to avocadogreenmattress.com. Get up to 15% off at avocadogreenmattress.com. avocadogreenmattress.com.
Go loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag in your sitting room like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got my corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.roystyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terrence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Roy Soil Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Roy, I'm waiting it now. Till your body is dead. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Episode 261 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Jenny Keane.
Jenny, it's been over 4 years since you were on the podcast.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
I knew that shocked you because it shocked me earlier when I checked.
Oh my God. I thought it was about 2 years.
That's what I would have, no, I would have said about 2.5 years, 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
For over four.
Do you remember? I remember we were in the pub playing darts and we FaceTimed Jenny.
Oh, I remember that as well. Yeah, I remember that.
And you were like, yeah, this and that. And I was like, lowering down the volume. Yeah. I was like,
and we'll talk about sex and and Calvin's like, oh, lower that down.
Yeah. Everyone in the pub playing darts was looking at us.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Oh, yeah.
But 4 years is madness.
Yeah.
And then you were saying we bumped into Jenny out on the road there.
Yeah.
I would have promised that was a year ago.
I would have said it was 2025.
No way.
Yeah, but it was 2023, it must have been.
Must have been 23, yeah.
Fuck it. But we've had you on two live shows.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
So we haven't really got rid of you. You're always popping up.
Good little filler there.
But you're doing loads of live shows yourself.
Oh, I love live shows. Like, so I feel like a lot has changed since. So I started doing the live shows in 2023. And do you know yourself? Like, I went from like sitting on my living room floor doing like online sex education, like live workshops, you know, to then going onto a big stage. And I remember the first time that I was doing that, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I have no business being on this stage. Like, I've never been in any kind of drama classes or anything like this, you know. I don't know like performer etiquette, if there is even one, you know. So I think I really was like in the deep end. And, you know, I believe, like, just like I believe sex is a skill that you have to learn, I believe, like, if you're doing something, you need to learn skills, right? So then I basically came away from 2023 after doing like all these big live shows in big venues, and I took the Sugar Club out, and for the whole year I basically did show after show after show in like a smaller venue with a smaller audience, just trying to figure out like, okay, how do I translate this, you know, because it's obviously like education, but you need entertainment as well.
Yeah,
and I feel like the first shows, I just went so far to the entertainment side of things, and I was like, more fire, more people swinging from the ceilings, you know, how can I come from the ceiling, like, you know, that kind of way. So, and it was just too much because it kind of lost the thing that I really love, which is like connecting with the people who are coming to the shows, like talking to them, interacting, and also like putting the huge part of education in that I really believe in. So yeah, so I just basically like worked it with small audiences and like really figured out like, oh, this is my style. Like, this is what I really enjoy doing. This is how I do it. This is how you translate education, that's like science, research, you know, and all that kind of stuff, into something that's like really fun and engaging for people. Mm-hmm. And then 2025, I basically started designing this show that I called Orgasm, because I was like, let's make it obvious. And yeah, 25, I kind of did a couple of tests. So I tested in Galway and in Cork. And the response was just, I think we were all blown away by the response. But like me in particular, I was like, I know it's a good show, but you never know it's going to be that good, you know? So basically, it's this show that's about like, how do you have the best sex for your entire life, you know, regardless of what, like, what relationship you're in, regardless of like what situation you're in, whether you've lost a spark and you're trying to get back to it again, or whether, you know, you're already having a good sex life but trying to have a better sex life, whether, you know, you're in a long-term relationship or it's just brand new and it's in the beginning stages. I had someone take their Hinge date to one of the shows last year, and I was like, that's a good first date, and he was like, yeah, it was brilliant. But like, how do you make that into a show? You know, it's like taking science, research, education, anatomy, all this stuff that could be pretty boring, and then like mixing it with storytelling and comedy. And like, one of the biggest things that people came away like saying was just like, it was like a comedy show. And like, my dad actually went to the Galway one, and everyone was saying it was like a comedy show, and he was like, you were brilliant, you were gas. I had tears streaming down my face. And then I was thinking, like, is this like, you know, the X Factor, when like someone's like, you know, their family's like, oh, she's a brilliant singer, and then you go on and they see you them singing their shite. I was like, it could be this situation. But like, got loads of feedback about that, and like, I've already been used to putting humor into the way that I educate adults about sex anyway, so I think it's a really important part of sex. You know, how do you add the fun, how do you add the creativity, how do you add the playfulness back into the center of the conversation again? Because that's really, you know, that's what sex should be, you know. I always get, like, you know, particularly the men, like, who are really nervous. Like, you'll get the women being like, oh, I bought it for me and my hubby, but he's absolutely shitting himself now, you know. And for me, I always just like, just get him in the room, you know, because as soon as he's in the room, he'll be totally okay. And I think that's something else that I really find important. Like, I don't find there's a lot of spaces for men to enter the conversation about like having good sex, like, or even how do you have the conversation about sex. And I really think that's important about including them, not in a way where you're putting them down either, because I think that happens an awful lot. Yeah. It's like, how do you bring them in and teach them like really interesting things about their penis? Like, things that they should know, whether it's like, you know, for their own kind of self-pleasure sessions or whether it's partnered. And then just stuff that's like going to be really fun ways of like reigniting your relationship again, you know. So
I have three questions already here.
Get them out quick.
Yeah. So you mentioned comedy in your shows.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people that I've spoke to that went to your show said they came out from it as well. They said, obviously, they probably had great sex that night, but they say that they laughed a lot during the shows. Was that a conscious thing to get into the show, to have a laugh on stage?
I mean, I think this is really a part of me. It's like one of my core principles, like, not even just in work, but it's about in life in general. Like, I always say, like, I'm really serious about what I do. Like, I am reading research, I am like writing papers and all this kind of stuff, but like, I also am not serious about how I do it. Like, I'd happily sit here in a vulva costume and talk to you guys, you know, that kind of way, if I think like that would like help people engage with the subject more. And like, humor is so important. Like, I get couples or people all the time who say to me that they can't communicate about sex, or sometimes people will think like, oh, I can communicate about sex, but then when it gets down to it, the conversation is awkward, it's vulnerable, it's, you know, it's embarrassing, you know, you're afraid to say the wrong thing. And I'm really about like, you know, how can we add like humor back into this conversation so it takes that out of it, you know. And also, like, humor is such a great way to like dissolve shame and break taboos, you know. And I often find, you know, like, when you're talking to people, I would have found this anyway, like, even in interviews, I suppose, in the beginning, you're talking to people about certain things, and you might start going down into like anal sex or something, and you'll suddenly start to feel people like breaking away from you, or like trying to break away from you, because there's so much, I suppose, scripts on top of that, being like, oh god, I can't say anything about this here, I can't get into that here, what's it going to say about me if I engage in this? And then if you're able to interject something that like can make you laugh, like, laughter is a really great way of connecting people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you even feel that in the room, right, as people are about to break away because I'm in a really like awkward topic, you make them laugh, it brings everyone together. Yeah. And I think, you know, like, one of the things that we know from research as well is that humor, like, couples who add humor into sex add playfulness into sex actually report higher sexual satisfaction and also stronger emotional connection. And if you even look at like the dating scene, one of the highest traits or one of the biggest traits that people like report as being really important in their partner is having a sense of humor. That's one of the biggest ones. And what we also know is that partners who rate their partner as like being high on the scale of humor actually have more orgasms, and more orgasms relate to more frequency in sex. So I think, like, you know, I could keep going with these.
Yeah. You're just selling, just be funny.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm not promoting like, you know, make your bedroom a comedy show, you know, but what I'm saying is like, you know, humor is a great way to take like the things that make us uncomfortable out of it. Like, it also really helps us like dismantle this idea of perfection that we have in sex, you know, like all these scripts that are given to us about like how sex is supposed to look, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to look like when we're having sex, you know, like down to your pubic hair, you know, what's trending right now, you know, the kind of way. These are all things that can stop people having sex, you know. So it's like really breaking down all of these. Like, one of the things in the show, I won't give it all away, but like one of the things in the show that gets the biggest laugh is we break down the taboo of hemorrhoids in sex. And like, honestly, like, you should hear the laugh, the roar of laughter that comes up, because it's fun to like break down taboo, to make it relatable, to be like, yeah, this is real life, you know, we're not looking at like trying to like make a picture perfect sex scene, you know. It's about getting messy, you know, and like being able to laugh like when there's, I don't know, like a fanny fart, or like you fall off the bed, or, you know, that kind of way. You
like,
try
it doesn't
a position
always have to be so serious.
Exactly. Yeah. Try a position, it doesn't work, grand, move on. You know, the kind of way. So it takes that kind of element of like having to be perfect all the time out of it, you know.
You also mentioned your dad was at one of your shows.
Yeah.
How does that come about?
Did you ask
him, or did he say, look, I'll go to it? Or?
My dad is like my biggest supporter. I don't know. I feel like the same way, because I have my own kid now. Like, for me, it's like, you know, is my baby happy? You know, and I feel like that's what my dad is like. You know, he sees that I'm so happy doing what I'm doing. Mm. I love teaching about sex. I think it's so important. I love teaching people how to have a good sex life, because I think it's really simple when you get given the information. Yeah. And I see so many people struggling. I see so many people on the brink of like their relationship separating, ending, you know, because they can't get on the same page, or they don't have the tools, right? I see like marriages breaking down after like big life changes, whether that's like illness, or, you know, even after having a baby, and like suddenly everything's changing, and like, you know, menopause as well, like really big thing. Like, people can't get on the same page again because there's this big change that happens. And there's really simple steps that you can put in that can just see you having a really great sex life. And so I think because I get so much of a kick about it, I'm so passionate about it, that's what my dad sees, you know. Mm. And then like, my dad has just got such a good sense of humor. Like, he's never been embarrassed talking about sex. Like, we would have been at the dinner table when we were a teenager, and he would have been like bringing up conversations, laughing when I'm turning bright red about it, being like, shut up, dad, you know. But also, what this was really important for, like, you know, I always say this, you know, if you are a parent of teens and you're trying to have that conversation, you know, about like sex with them, and they're shutting it down, I always say, like, keep going, you know. And if you can make it fun, make it light, it's really important, because even if they're not willing to engage in the conversation with you, which they probably aren't because they're teenagers, and they actually respond more to peer-to-peer conversations rather than authority, particularly when you're a teenager, we all remember that. But like, they are listening to what you're saying, they're listening to the fact that you're talking about it in the first place. And here's the really important thing: if anything bad happens, they know that they can come to you about it, right? Yeah. So like, my dad has always been, you know, really good fun. And, you know, he just wants to help, you know. If I, like, he knows all the stuff that I bring. Anywhere I go, I'm bringing a bag with me, you know. So if I'm going to a show, it's just like, you know, boxes coming out my ears. And I also throw loads of stuff out into the audience. And it's like, you know, he's like, you know, bringing another car and stuff just so that I can see through my rear view mirror, you know, the kind of way. So, and like, then he's happy to sit in the audience and just kind of see. He's like, you know, talking to my mum on the way home, being like, oh, she was brilliant, you know. Giving her the lowdown. So he was at your show, remember?
Yeah, we met him at the show.
Him and my sister were there.
You have a twin sister.
Yeah.
That was so much going on after that show. After, not only what happened on the stage, but then after, you were like, this is Jenny's dad. I was like, fucking hell, that was her. I was like, and a twin sister. I was like, she has a twin.
Yeah.
I was like, my mind was blown.
Oh, well, she's always walking in, because she was living in London at that time, and she moved back here. And so, like, she's obviously home more, and wherever she goes, she's always like, are you a... And she's like, no, I'm her twin sister.
Tell Jenny what your nanny said.
Remember me nana pulled you after one of the shows.
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
this?
Yeah, yeah.
And you were up and you were giving all the tips and the advice, and she was like, oh, I can teach you a thing or two. Fairness, the woman had bleeding 8 or 9 kids or something.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So she's doing something right, like.
Yeah. I think she said that to you, didn't
she? Yeah, she did.
She was like, 8 kids and how many grandkids, I can teach you a thing or two.
Well,
like,
sorry, tell her to call me, because, you know, as much as
I'd rather not, Jenny, to be honest with you.
As much as I love educating, I'm an avid student. So
but she is single, so that's what I'm saying.
Watch out. Look at her at the show. She loves us.
Yeah. Oh, poor Alice.
Gosh. But the other thing I wanted to put on, you said there about couples going to the shows.
Yeah.
I'd say they're probably majority women, are they?
No, this is, do you know
is
what?
Is there a lot of couples going? Because I think we spoke about it the last time you were in. Was about, is there a lot of male ego around sex?
This is what I wanted to say when you were talking about that. It's predominantly female. Because I know if you were to sit down 10 fellas and be like, rate yourself at sex, they're up 10 out of 10. Yeah. Nothing wrong with mine.
They're all
in
the
I'm brilliant there.
Yeah.
Every male is great at sex.
Yeah.
When, like, statistically, it's impossible.
Anybody who I've spoke to, like, the lads are not, and it's always, oh, yeah, I'm late, like, I can do this great. It's like,
but
no
you'd
one
never
ever
compare.
Says,
you'd never be like, it's not like, oh, Terrence is a good footballer because he does this, but John is a good footballer because he does that. It's not like Terrence is good at sex because of this, but John does this. It's just Terrence is good and John is also good. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I feel like
I was saying to one of the lads one time, you can't be man of the match every week, Pat.
You can't be man of the match every week. You can't. And this happens. I'm pumped from personal experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a long-term relationship and I know it's not 10 out of 10 every week.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not. And it's impossible to be, but we don't have these conversations.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like women are much more likely when they're in like groups of women to get into the detail. Like women will love the detail. Like, you know, you even see these reels like where it's like, you know, you're speaking to your fella and he's like gone to meet someone and he said like, oh yeah, John broke up with, you know, Emma. And then it's like, oh, what happened? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and girls are like, are you joking? Like, whereas women will be straight into the detail. And I think it's very similar with sex as well, right? Like women will get into the details. Like, I don't know whether it's just me, but like in my friend group, I'm like, oh, I'll show you the positions, you know, that we were trying, like this kind of thing. Like there's much more detail, there's much more nuance, you know. And and this is also as well like really important when it comes to sex and talking about like being perfect. I was talking about like trying to take the perfection element out of it, and this is really important because, you know, I always say perfection is a mathematical construct, it's not a human construct. So it's okay to have these times, like not even weeks or days, it's okay to have these periods of time where just things aren't working out, like you're not on the same page, it's not great. But it's never about saying like, oh, that means something about our chemistry or that means something about our relationship. It's really normal and really common in relationships to swing between these periods of being connected and then periods of being disconnected. And I think the most important thing that we can learn, you know, as we kind of progress through relationships is when we're in those states of disconnection, how do we swing back to connection again? Because oftentimes when we get stuck in disconnection, this is where things become stagnant. The conversations stop because maybe you've tried a few times and you just got nowhere, you know, or like you stop trying, you know, to try and make it better, or, you know, you just stop talking altogether about it and ignore the problem altogether. But it's like, how do you swing back to connection again if that's what's going on? Like when you're in these kind of stagnated kind of periods of time, which again, it happens, it's normal, it's common, you know, how do you move back to places where like you feel good, you feel, and I mean, even if you think about it, like this is a normal state, like it's part of everyday life. We aren't happy continuously, you know, 100% of the time through life. We go through these ups and downs, like we'll feel happy, we feel sad, we go back to feeling happy again, you know. And the problem becomes like when we are stuck in those states, right? I mean, if you're in a constant state of happiness, like people are also like, there's something wrong with that person, you know. So it's like you want to have these normal swings, and that's what we want in sex life as well. So when we talk about like sexual satisfaction, for example, it's about how you feel. So you could be not having sex itself, like so the act of sex itself, and maybe that's because you've had surgery or maybe you've just had a baby and you can't, right? So there's things that are like have taken off the table. Maybe you are so stressed in work that you can't even think about it. But so long as the kind of communication about sex stays open, you can still feel very sexually fulfilled, right? So if you're talking about like you know, I always talk about communication in terms of like do things like sexually reminisce, right? Like talk about like describe our the first time that we kissed, right? You're still kind of keeping that kind of channel lubricated and you still feel close and connected. I also always say like expand what your definition of sex includes, because oftentimes, especially for heterosexual relationships, sex is about like the penis in vagina kind of sex. Whereas if you can expand your definition of what sex includes to be like, you know, make out sessions or like, you know, hugging with clothes off or whatever. So you define what sex is for you and you can expand that, like an erotic massage and things like this. Then you're able to like move through these periods where sex is going to be difficult, much, much easier. And the thing that I will say to you is that there is not one person that is living on this earth right now that will not experience a sexual issue. We are going to experience not just one sexual issue, but multiple sexual issues throughout our time. And I really think that this is where, like, when we get education, when we get skills, we can learn to move through those periods like much, much easier. And, you know, coming back to like male sex education again, like I think for me, what I see out there is that there are very few sources for male sex education. And there's a couple of reasons for this. You know, it's actually much more profitable to talk to women. It's why sex toy companies will target women and not men.
I was just thinking there when you said a light bulb went off my head, because like if you like, I don't know, like we're out being crude, but I suppose it's you, Jenny, so we can't be crude. But like if you knew that a woman had a dildo, you wouldn't be that surprised. You'd be like, that doesn't
don't they all know?
Yeah, like that's not out of the realm of possibility. But like if a man bought, like, I don't know, what do they call them,
the masturbation sleeves,
what the fuck is that weirdo doing?
Yeah, and you know, like that's even that kind of language is so interesting that it's almost acceptable for women to have sex toys and it's not for men. Yeah. So, and it's almost like, oh, that's, and you know, we have this, you know, for women as well in other situations, like for example, body count, you know.
Yeah, like
for
men, it's reversed.
They can have a high body count. Yeah. It's seen as like being like, yeah, you're doing great.
Yeah.
But for women, it's like, oh, she's a slut. She's like, I hate this terminology, but like low value women kind of stuff. Like it's a real manosphere stuff. So we have these things, you know, on different sides, like when it comes to gender and sexuality. But like, you know, even for example, when men say to me about like, you know, a sex toy for me, you know, like, oh, I can't use any of that, I'm like, you can use all the sex toys your partner has. You just need to know how to use them, and that requires education. So I always say, like, there's this point on your penis that you can touch with a vibrator that responds to mechanical vibration, and you can have an orgasm without an erection. So like these are Charles is like, oh, what?
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but like that could be interesting for one of two reasons. Like maybe it's just an exploratory thing where you're like, oh, I never knew I could have an orgasm without an erection. But it can also be really important, let's say for, you know, later in life, if you experience, God forbid, like prostate cancer, or if you have issues with erections, right, moving forward, like it's a big sign for cardiovascular health. So please get your cardiovascular health checked out. It's one of the, it is.
Sorry, so like if you have an erectile dysfunction, you could have a bad heart.
Yeah, like generally, so I always say like your sexual health is actually a precursor for like your overall health. So if you had things like where you used to have really strong erections and now you're noticing there's a change there, it could be a very early indicator for for getting your cardiovascular health checked out. Now, obviously, I'm not a medical practitioner, so do talk to your GP about that. But like I obviously know all this information.
So what you're saying is if you can't get it up, it's a problem.
Yeah.
But not being able to keep it down is already.
Well, not really, but okay. And like, but then another thing as well is that, like, you know, so it's like, let's say for example you can't get an erection, I think it's really good to know that like you can still have an orgasm, you can still access pleasure. Because oftentimes with men, when it comes to orgasm, they often associate that with having to have an erection. You know, so it's just having like these things where you can kind of just, education is always going to expand your mind. And I always say, like, regardless of what you're going through, you know, whatever is happening in your life, like you actually have more solutions and more pathways than you know, and if you get the education you can figure out which ones work for you, you know.
In the last few years you had a baby.
And you as well, Terrence.
Two of us together.
Not together.
That came out wrong. Anyways, you've had a chance.
Everyone's going to be looking back now at our reverse game. Like, what happened?
Fuck's sake. That's the tummy frame on that one. Has your views changed at all on sex or your work life or anything at all changed since you had the baby?
Well, in terms of my sex life, it's so funny because I got a lot of these questions, like particularly in interviews after I had my baby, they were like, oh, now you finally get it. And I was like, but you know what though? I actually always knew because I had the education beforehand. So like for me, all the education that I have, like all the things that I know, really supported me and my partner through that journey of, like, you know, moving through pregnancy, like postpartum, the hormones, you know, and all of these things. And also then just like trying to manage your time after you have a baby, you know, in terms of like prioritizing sex. Like one of the big things they say in research, so the Gottman Institute did this research with a huge sample of people. So it was couples who were 45 plus, so aged 45 and plus, and they looked at everyone who was sexually satisfied, and there was two things that showed up for every couple. And the first one was that there was a sense of trust and friendship in the relationship, so that's obviously a really important thing. But the second one was that they made sex a priority, you know. And this is where I say, like, there are going to be times in your life where you can't actually have like sex itself, like, so the act itself, so for whatever reason, maybe you've had loads of stitches down there or whatever and you can't do it. And so this is where it's really important, where, you know, you're thinking about expanding what your definition of sex is. So like, can you keep the conversation open and flowing? Like, maybe this is where like you start to do quizzes, you know, like, what's my desire style? Or maybe even looking at, like, I have a thing called a yes no maybe list, and so it's looking at like all these things that you might want to try in sex. So whether it's like spanking or hair pulling or, you know, role play or, you know, whatever, it's a big list, and you put down either yes, no, or maybe. And you can do it individually or you can do it with your partner and then kind of compare the lists, and you kind of get this thing of like, oh, this is what, you know, we might like to try later on. And also doing things that are like beyond just the act of penetration itself. So like maybe one of the things you're like, you know, erotic massage, and then you go and learn like, how do you give an erotic massage? Like, I think today the internet means that we can learn everything online and pretty much almost for free as well. So like, you know, you can do these things. So I think in the sense of like, you know, my sex, like after babies, like I don't really feel like anything changed for me. It was always just about like, you know, putting the tools around me and my partner that we needed to have in order to like manage and like get us through whatever that change was happening. And I mean, like, when babies are so young, change is happening so fast. Mm. You're just kind of like, whoa, gotta change things again. I mean, one of the things as well that I always talk about is that this isn't just in relation to babies, it's anytime, you know, there's three types of sex that we should be having all the time. And the one is spontaneous sex, and that's the kind of sex we know right at the very beginning of a relationship. Yeah. Where it's all like, you know, boom, look across the room, you know, and you're like, we're going to do it. Like, that's, there's no build up to it, you know. So spontaneous sex, planned sex, and quickies. And I think like when you have a baby, like the quickies really start to take it up a notch. You're like, 95%. We got some time quick, you know. We don't know how long. And, you know, there are periods of time where one of those types of sex is going to take precedence or have dominance, you know, in the relationship. So in the beginning, when there's like no responsibilities, you're looking at spontaneous, you know, later on down the line, you might have to start looking at planning sex, you know. And then it's like, how do you do that in a way that's like going to be beneficial and not just like, that's in the diary now, never think about it again, you know. Like when you plan sex, like it can actually be really good fun. I think oftentimes people think that planned sex,
it's like a chore.
Yeah, or means like, you know, oh, we're at the end of the line here if we're planning sex. Yeah. Like we've really, like, you know, we're really at the you know, the low part of the road kind of thing. But actually planning sex can be really good fun. Like we were talking about holidays before this, before I started recording. And if you think about like how we approach holidays, it's very rare that we just turn up at the airport and like, you know, with our bags packed with God knows what kind of clothes in it, and then like plan to go to a destination there and then, you know, figure it out as we go along, you know. Generally, when we're talking about holidays, we'll like plan in advance. When are we going? Are we going to the sun? Are we going skiing? You know, what clothes are we bringing? You're generally planning like trips that you're going to do while you're on holidays. You might be like even looking at restaurants, you know, if you're that coordinated. You've got this planned. And like, just because you planned it all in advance doesn't mean that when you get on holidays, then that like the holiday is less exciting, right? And so the same thing happens when we apply that to sex. Like if you plan sex for 2 weeks in advance, you can then be talking about sex, right? You can be talking about like, is there something that we did before that you'd like to try again?
2 weeks in advance?
Yeah.
All right.
Careful, Terrence. No,
that'd be a bit mad, yeah, wouldn't it? Like, I'll see you in 2 weeks on Saturday evening.
No, but this is the thing. It isn't, you know, because, you know, at certain points in your life, it might get to that point where you're just like, Jesus, like, you know, we might only have time for sex once a month, right? And that's okay. So long as, you know, again, that level of communication is open, you know, at this point in time where you are in your life, you'd be like, that will never happen to me. But you never know what's going to happen yeah, to yeah. you, you know, the kind of way. You never know, like, or what's going to happen to your partner, because it's not just you either. So it's about learning, like, to manage that. So, you know, in 2 weeks' time, if you put it in the schedule and say, like, this is when we're doing it, it also doesn't mean that you can't have sex beforehand, Terrence, okay. you know, the kind of way. But it just
so you can have your quickie in there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. You know, like, that. Don't relax.
I was just like, every 2 weeks. You like, know what I mean? That'd be a bit mad.
But also, for some people, sex isn't one of the main priorities in the relationship. Other people can be really fulfilled emotionally or even mentally, you know. So it also depends on where sex falls on your kind of priority or value list in a relationship, you know. So, like, getting back to the 2 week slot, like, you know, you're not just leaving in the calendar and forgetting about it. What you're doing is thinking about it, talking about yeah. it. You're like saying, you know, is there something that we've never tried before that you'd like to try? And then even the whole act of, like, you know, figuring stuff out beforehand, like, do you add a sex toy? Do you not add a sex toy? Is there yeah. a way that you can, like, spice up foreplay? You know, these are all, like, things that.
So you're saying, you know, like, to build it up and yeah, build
exactly.
tension.
Exactly.
So you're not just going in, missionary, I'm done.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. yeah. of course. Yeah.
There's a bit of anticipation, sense, yeah. you know, yeah. and that, yeah. that anticipation is, like, really important fuel. Like, I always think about it like this, right? If we think about something that we get pleasure from, right? Like, and let's compare it to, like, your favorite food, right? Because it's easier to think about in this circumstance. So, like, I don't know, what's your, I was going to get a cookie from Cookie Boy just before, and then they had ran out of cookies. So I was actually very disappointed, just so you know, before I came in here. I was like, oh, and I was going to get all you guys cookies. So it was going to be a great time, guys, with our chocolate chip cookies. But anyway, they ran out. But so if we think about, like, the cookie itself, right? We don't just get pleasure when we're eating the cookie in the moment, right? Yeah. There's the wanting of it in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's the anticipation. So I was, like, getting excited. I was like, oh yeah, I'll get an early, I'll get everyone cookies, you know, sharing the pleasure kind of thing. And then when you're actually eating the cookie itself, you know, we can be in a mode where, you know, you kind of eat it mindlessly almost, and you inhale it, and you don't really enjoy it because you've even forgotten to think about eating it, you know. Or you can really sit there and go, oh yeah, this cookie, you know, the kind of way. And then, like, afterwards, you can be like, there's that learning mode as part of, like, the pleasure cycle, which is like, you know, maybe it was too much, you know, maybe I had two cookies and that was two, like, one cookie too many. So now I know the next time I only have one cookie and share the rest of it. I've done this before, guys. That's why I was, like, talking about sharing cookies. I like to buy lots of cookies and I ate too many at once. But anyway, this is the story of my life. So it's like this when we talk about pleasure as well. Like, that anticipation can actually give you, like, a huge amount of, like, dopamine beforehand. It's not just dopamine in the moment. And it actually adds to the experience. And this is really important, particularly if you're a guy in a heterosexual relationship. Like, we know that part of the romance for women is actually not just the act itself. Like, for guys, it can just be the act, right? That can be okay for you guys. And that's why when we talk about, like, you know, like, talking about how men talk about sex and women talk about sex, women will put in the whole story. They're telling you, you know, everything beforehand, right? Because it's not just about the moment. It's about the build-up. It's about, like, you know, the dinner beforehand, the flowers, the candles, like, the blindfold. You know, if you're going
cleaning
swinging
the
from
kitchen.
The roof, that's it. Cleaning the kitchen, Calvin. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we'll talk about this in a second, Calvin. But, like, it's, you know, it's the build up, and actually in the animal kingdom they call this pacing. You know, so it happens there as well, and so this is a really important part of, like, the sex.
I think you sold it a little bit better.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
the start, it was just like every 2 weeks, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I got it now. I understand. Away from work, though, how much has your life changed since you had the baby?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, it's just more about, like, I think it's a really good way to look at your priorities, you know, when you have a baby. Like, I have to say, I found, you know, transitioning into motherhood to be the most fulfilling part of my life now. I get so much joy from it. I don't find parenting, I don't find having a baby stressful at all. I find everything else stressful, you know, the kind of way. But this is the one part of my life that I don't find stressful. It's just, it, for me, it's such a joy. So I think, like, this has really helped me, like, prioritize, like, what I'm actually doing, why I'm doing it. I only give my energy to stuff that's really important, because everything now comes against the backdrop of this is taking time away from yeah. my baby, you know. Like, I'm also a really big believer in making sure that like your life is pleasurable. I'd be really focused on looking at my productivity mindset versus my pleasure mindset. I always compare these two things. Like even, you know, I talk about this as like being at the foundation of your sex life, because when we look at the way the world works, you know, the world is always pushing us to be productive, often at all costs, like even to the detriment of things like our health, you know, our relationships and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, it's always a place of like remembering to put pleasure back at the center of my life again, because that's the thing that gives me fuel, you know, for the rest of the, for the other areas of my life. You know, like if I'm making sure that like I'm enjoying myself, that like I'm enjoying my life, then I have that energy, I have that fuel to kind of keep pushing through. And it doesn't mean that I don't go through moments where I'm incredibly stressed and like all my deadlines are now in this 1 week and, you know, what have I done to myself? Like I have those moments, or like the times where I'm like jellyfishing on the ground because I've now burnt myself out and I'm just like, oh my God, you know, and all you could do in sex is starfish, you know, like this, you know, but it's also like, it's, it, you know, I have those moments as well, but like, it's constantly like reevaluating that aspect, you know. I don't know, have you found that with the baby?
No, I do agree with you, but I really like what you said about finding time to just do things that you think will be beneficial to you.
Yeah.
Rather than just jumping at everything because it's taking time away from you and your baby. Yeah. I really like the way you say that as well, because I think people should prioritize things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm really privileged as well in a sense, like to be working for myself because I do have that control, you know. Yeah. But like, this is where I would even say to people who are like in full-time jobs, 9 to 5, where it's like, you don't have to say yes to working late, you know, the kind of way, like watch when we do that, because we tend to be doing it out of a productivity mindset where we believe that we have to do this or like someone else is going to come behind us and take our place. Yeah. You know, and I think we can fall into those situations very easily where we're ringing our friends and saying, sorry, I know I booked dinner with you tonight, but actually something's come up at work, you know. But like your social life, you know, is so important for your overall health and well-being. This is where I say like your sex life is so important for your overall health and well-being as well. And like, it's really nice, and again, privilege, to be in a place where you can look at these things, you know, before shit hits the fan, you know, because yeah, we tend to only look at these things when, you know, it's already too late, you know, like when we've got the illness or when we've already burnt out and things like this, you know. So yeah, it's like always trying to check yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, even if we think about like if you go to the end of your life, you know, I was a yoga teacher before all of this, like I still am. I meditation was a really big part of my life. You might not know this about me, but I actually sorry, I just have crazy stories about like my past life where even my friends are just like, oh, how did you do all this weird stuff? But like, I actually went to a monastery in Nepal and lived there to like learn Buddhism, and I was like meditating. And one of the things we did in this monastery is you do a death meditation. And so like it sounds really morbid, but it's actually something that I still do to this day. And it's a really good way to like figure out like what your priorities are. If you're, you know, if you're kind of like all over the place and you're like, oh, I don't know what's up and down anymore. And it's like, you basically imagine yourself in a coffin at 80 years old, and you imagine like it in detail. Like, what do you look like? You know, what does your hair look like? You know, have you got dirt on your fingernails? Are you a little green finger now? Who's around you in your life? You know, do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? Like all of these things. And then you kind of like pull back and you do it like you're 70 and then you're 60 and then you're 50 and then, you know, you're 45 and 40, and I'm going to be 40 this year. So it's like, you know, I'll be just, you know, 40. And when you do this, it kind of helps you really figure out like what your priorities are. And again, like I always say, like, you know, when you look at like the end of your life, you're not thinking about those times that you were working late, you know. Yeah. You're thinking about the times that like you spent with your family, that you went on holidays, that you took that time, you know, to yeah, be with your friends, you know, that you like really built good relationships, you know, with yourself, with, you know, your partner, with the people around you, you know, those things. And I think it just kind of helps you go like, okay, like, what am I actually putting focus into here, you know?
Mm.
Jenny, I joked earlier about cleaning the kitchen being a turn on, yeah, but it's based off a conversation I seen a reel, and it was something like empty the dishwasher is the biggest turn on for a woman. And I was like, ah, yeah, but it turns out like that is a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Was it my reel?
Could have been.
Yeah, so, you know, there's different turn on triggers, you know, and this is where I think it's really important like to learn about, you know, sex as much as you can. So we have things that turn us on, and we also have turn on triggers that like turn us off, like turn off triggers rather, you know. So it's really important when we understand these things. So one of the things, for example, the dishwasher they're talking about, that's an environmental turn on trigger. So that can be like, you know, that chair that's in your bedroom that you put all your washing on, you know, with the intention to put it into the wardrobe soon, you know, or whatever. So that can be something that means that you're not having sex, in terms of like, it can take them out of the feeling of wanting to have sex and not having a desire for sex. It can be, you know, when you go to a hotel room and you suddenly start to feel like a little bit more in the mood, that's more than likely an environmental turn on trigger, because even in hotel rooms, you know, like they're ironing the bed sheets, you know, this kind of thing. Like, so environment is important. So the mood is important, whether you have like lights on, lights off, candles, you know, using incense. But another part of environmental turn on trigger is like doing chores, right? So it's like, if you have the dish like on the side of the sink and you're consistently asked to put it in the dishwasher, doing something simple like putting in the dishwasher can be a thing that like instantly gets you a blowjob, like, for example, right? Because that can be a turn on trigger. Hoovering the house without being asked, you know, I have a joke with my partner about the fact that he defrosted my freezer without asking me to, and like he came in, he was on his knees, and I was just like, stay on your knees, you know, like, I'm like it's, you know, I was like, this is such a turn on, you know, that kind of way. So that's like an environmental turn on trigger, right? There's, he's going to kill me for saying that now. But, you know, then, you know, there's other turn on triggers. Like, some of us have a direct turn on trigger. And that means that, like, saying to someone, you know, in a text or whatever, you know, I'm going to do this to you when I get home, or something like this. Or, you know, be ready, this is going to happen. Or, you know, you look really hot right now, I want to F your brains out, kind of thing. Being direct can be something that really turns someone on. For other people, that could be a turn off, right? So if someone is direct, they'd be like, whoa, settle down there, you know, like chill out a little bit, like maybe, you know, woo me a little bit first, ask me how I am, right? Ask me how my day was. That's an emotional turn on trigger, right? There's a cat and mouse turn on trigger, which is very much like the tease, like, you know, the chase. Yeah. So do you know, like, some people could really be attracted to that, like, so they'd hate the direct turn on trigger, for example. Like, they'd hate you approaching straight away and being like, this is what I want to do. They're like, whoa, like, where's the tease? Like, you know, I'm not going to give it to you straight away. Like, this could be a back and forward. For other people, like that kind of, you know, cat and mouse turn on trigger could actually put you into overdrive, your nervous system into overdrive, being like, I can't handle the stress of this, like, where do I stand, you know, yes or no, just tell me straight. So really understanding your turn on triggers can be a way to help you, like, actually figure out how to approach your partner, or help if you can figure it out for yourself, you can help, you know, someone approach you, you know. So yeah, that's one. So it's like chore play.
Jenny, all your shows are selling out and your online courses are like hugely successful as well. But do you feel like in Ireland, like, the stigma on sex is lifting? Because, like, you're well travelled, and I'd imagine, well, obviously you are having this like sexual conversations in other societies. But I feel like when you look at, like, even in Europe, they're more sexually open. Do you know what I mean? They're not afraid to say, like, how many times they've had sex with someone or whatever, or that they want to have sex or whatever their sex life may be. But whereas over here, it's like, you keep that to behind closed doors, like, you know what I mean? It's not something that you're sitting around chatting about openly.
Yeah, I think it's different in different countries. What I will say about Irish people, and this is like, because in the beginning when I first started, you know, doing this work, I never thought that I'd be able to teach in Ireland. Like, I had this perception that, like, Irish people are closed off, they don't want to have the conversation, we're sexually repressed, because that's what we're told, you know, by society, and also by, like, globally we're told that the Irish are sexually repressed. But actually, what I have found from being in Ireland talking about this conversation, and this is from the beginning, once I went online, Irish people are really, really curious. We're really interested to lean in, and we will lean into anything. And also, I think if you add like any kind of elements of like storytelling or humor to that, we lean in even more because like it's just part of our DNA. And I think this is something that's very different to like other cultures and other countries. You know, like, we might, like, if you were to go to like, you know, Germany or Berlin, for example, you know, yeah, okay, like, there's like tons of like kink clubs and they're like swinging from the ceilings and it's no big deal, you know, which we wouldn't really have here. But at the same time, they also don't have that culture where, like, you know, you can have a laugh at yourself, you can, you know, take the piss out of yourself, that kind of thing, which we really do have here. And I think that's really conducive to Irish people learning about sex, you know, when we can kind of add that in general. But like, Irish people are my favorite people to speak to, they're my favorite people to teach, because you're going to get the laugh, and you know, before you even go into the room, they're going to be on board with you straight away, rather than like in certain places, like, you can go in and you're just like, I'm going to have to see how this goes. You know, I think Irish people you know, there is a sense of community here as well, you know, where we are likely to know someone who knows someone, you know, that kind of way. Yeah. But what's good about that kind of closeness in our community is also the fact that, like, ideas can spread pretty quickly. Like, you guys would see this in the message that you're spreading about inner city and, like, you know, the supports that we need to have within the inner city. Like, Irish people will get on board with those messages very quickly and, like, spread them through, you know. And so I think it's, and this is where we see change taken up very quickly amongst society, maybe not at the government level, but, like, definitely at a societal level, which is where we wanted to change, you know.
Yeah,
so that's one of the good things about, you know, being so close-knit. Now, it does, you know, it makes things harder if you're trying to be, you know, mysterious or inconspicuous at a swinger party. But, like, you know, for other things, it's got its benefits.
Like, we've experienced a small bit of your, like, nuggets from being at one of our shows, the Reverse Cowgirl video.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've experienced people messaging us the next day. Do you remember all the messages we were getting? Like, lads were texting us, someone tell Jenny that we said thanks.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. That must be a great feeling for you, because I'd imagine you'll probably get loads of messages one of your own full shows. You put a little nugget in, you were like, this'll get a good laugh. Everyone had a fucking great night that
night.
I can imagine what it's like for you getting a response after one of your shows.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that on steroids, basically, because it's a whole show of that Reverse Cowgirl,
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, what I love about that is just knowing that, like, they've put that into action and, like, they figured out how it works for themselves. You realize how easy it is to, like, learn sex skills, that it isn't weird or awkward or, like, uncomfortable, you know, and that actually it can be really, really good fun. And, like, that's when I get that message, that's what they've figured out, you know, when I get that message. I mean, one of the best messages I've ever received is, like, from someone who came to the show, and then the next day they were like, your name is the only name I would ever allow my husband to call out in the bedroom. It was like, thank you, Jenny Keane.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brilliant.
So, yeah, it's just good fun, you know.
You have a show coming up, Jenny.
So, yeah, I've got 4 dates in May coming up. So I'm in Cork first on the 20th of May. Then I'm in Kilkenny the 23rd. They've got the Saturday night guys, so that'll be good. Dublin is the 24th on Sunday. And then Galway is the 26th. Yeah.
Where can people get tickets, Jenny?
The best place to go is my website, which is o-moment.com. So oh-moment.com. And they'll see it there under events. Do you guys know I opened up an online sex toy shop since I saw you last?
No. But that's why when you come in with 2 bags, I was afraid.
Yeah, I brought all my sex toys. We were doing, like, a little photo shoot before this. Yeah, so I opened up my own online sex toy shop literally, like, 2 years ago now. And it was so funny because it was just because obviously I get so many questions about sex toys. And then I was just sending people here, there and everywhere. And then what was also happening is that I'd send them somewhere, the toy would sell out, and then I'd have hundreds of messages being like, where do I get the toy? And I'm just like, oh my God, I can't deal with all the admin, you know, because I also do like to respond to everyone. So it was causing me huge amounts of anxiety. So I was like, how hard can it be to do this myself? So I basically set up my own website, like, set up, like, I have a warehouse now and a warehouse manager and all that kind of stuff, like a fulfillment center. And yeah, I have my own, like, online sex toy shop. And it was funny because it was like how hard it could be, and I was just like, oh fuck, what have I done to myself? But, like, it's now up and running. But yeah, it's really good fun. So basically have, like, and you know what's great as well is that I find, like, the sex toy market is so oversaturated, and you'll, like, see loads of toys, like, going viral, for example, and, like, a lot of them aren't worth the hype because there's just really good marketing put behind them, you know. And also as well, there's actually no regulation in the sex toy industry, so I could say this is a body safe toy and actually it's like not full of really bad chemicals that you should not be putting anywhere near your body and definitely not inside of it. So, like, I was basically like, how do I create a toy shop that is, like, absolutely body safe, like, really good high quality toys that are actually worth the hype and that are good. So, you know, we get, like, so many people who, you know, get the toy, then you get the reviews of the toy, whether they're working, whether they're not working. And then one of the things that I do as well is that if toys come back, like, where people are like, I like it but I have no idea what to do with it, then I basically do masterclasses for the toys on, like, this is how to do it and, you know, that kind of thing. Because, you know, with sex toys, like, a lot of the times, like, people will just turn it on, put it on, go, right? And that's, like, a really passive way to interact with toys. And it's a great way to interact with toys, especially when you're tired, you know, starfishing, jellyfishing, whatever it is you want to do. It's a great way to just be like, boom, done with it, you know, go to sleep or like, you know, get up and start your day, whatever it is. But oftentimes, like when we learn how to be active with toys, like this is about like getting creative in the bedroom as well. It's like a really, really good way to introduce novelty. And one of the things about novelty in the bedroom is that it is one of the biggest proponents of sexual satisfaction for people in long-term relationships. And like, people think like when I talk about introducing novelty into the bedroom, they're thinking about like the cat suit, you know, like BDSM kind of thing. And it's like actually really much simpler than that. It could be like going sex toy shopping. It could be adding a sex toy. It could be changing the sex position. And so there's so many different things that you can do. And then in my shop as well, I also prioritize like pleasure products. So not just sex toys. So like products that you can use for foreplay. So like aphrodisiac chocolates or pheromone perfumes that like, you know, you add them to a date night. And basically I always think like pheromone perfumes are like what blood is to sharks. Like yeah. It just like dilates the pupils, you know, it's like, hum, now I'm going to eat you. So like that's what pheromone perfume can do. But again,
I've never even heard of that before.
Yeah. So pheromones are chemicals basically inside of our body.
They're turned on, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're like, they're really...
Yeah. There's supposed to be certain sense that like if women get detect, that's it then.
Right.
And men like, as well, not just women.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So most of the times we think about pheromones relating to sexual activity, but actually pheromones do a lot more than that. They're actually more about social connection as well. So pheromone perfume is really good if you get a lot of social anxiety, or let's say like if you're a salesperson, right? And you're like trying to sell a lot of things, whatever that job is, stick on some pheromone perfume. Like that can help like with like, you know, helping your customers feel closer to you and more connected, you know, because that's what pheromones do. They kind of send out these feel good signals essentially, and it's quite like a magnetizing type of a hormone, you know. So it's like not just kind of alluring, but like more like magnetism in general. Like, oh my god, what's
never heard of that.
What
that's
that person has.
Yeah,
that's a cheat
code. Again, but yeah, and it's a really good way to like spark something. Like, I mean, if you do date nights every Friday and you're trying to add something different in, like add the pheromone perfume in, there is also different qualities. Like some pheromone perfumes say they're pheromone and they actually don't have the active ingredient. But then there's other things as well, like, you know, you can add like nipple arousal balm, for example. So it like helps like the nipples to become sensitive. Like this could be really good for someone like after breastfeeding. Now, sometimes after breastfeeding, your nipples can become oversensitized. And in that case, you're obviously not going down this road. But sometimes you can actually find that nipples become numb. And nipple play is, I would say, like it's one of the most important things you can do for foreplay, particularly if you are a woman who struggles to orgasm, particularly during partnered experiences, because what the nipples will do is, so there's brain scans that say like that when you arouse, the nipples, the clitoris and the cervix, they all light up in the same area of the brain. So this could be a really good kind of precursor to the act of sex itself, in order to kind of get things going and get the blood flowing and pumping and kind of get, you know, everything activated in the same area. So actually when you add nipple play, you can increase your chances to orgasm. And if you already orgasm, adding nipple play can intensify your orgasms. And so like you can do this thing like nipple arousal balm. And again, like these things don't have to break the bank. They're yeah. like really like small things that you can do. And actually for anyone that's like finds it like a little bit, you know, they're nervous to introduce sex toys, like these types of things can be a really great way to kind of step your toe in, you know, like kind of toe in it, you know. Because I think also as well, sometimes when we do think about introducing sex toys into the bedroom, we're thinking of, hold on, I will get one thing out of the bag. Hold on.
We thought we were getting kookies and the blade sex toys are coming out.
Like, that's a big bag.
Oh, it's a huge bag. Fucking hell.
Like, that's a gym bag full of stuff. Like,
and she looked like she was struggling lifting her in.
And no, what made her most? She had two bags.
It could be 100 in that.
It's like the Barney bag, I said, yeah.
That's like a black cat.
I thought that was a microphone. It looks like a GHD.
Well, this is like, I think this is like where people...
Like, Jenny, look at that. Like, yeah. Fucking Beyonce doesn't go out on a stage with a yoke like that.
I use it as my microphone. But like, for example, I think this is where people's heads go when they think about like, you know, introducing sex toys. They're thinking about the big things.
That's carrying
you know?
On that one.
Like, it's scary. Like, imagine you see this coming to you in the bedroom, you know, like... But again, like, if you know how to use this toy, like, I know it looks scary, but like...
If I seen that in someone's bedroom, I think it's for like if someone breaks into the house. Yeah, you're going to smack
it over the head. I know, like it does look scary, but that's why there are smaller things that you can get that, you know, you can approach people with. I always, oh, one second.
She's gone back for more.
Sorry, I should just take the whole bag off. But yeah. Like, I always recommend like a little finger vibrator instead. I think every couple should have a finger vibrator in the bedroom because, again, first of all, it's not scary, right? But you can pop it on your finger. You can add this to like nipples or to a clitoris, for example, like in any position. And like, it's not this big scary thing, but we know, right? So in partnered pleasure, 18% of women will orgasm through partnered pleasure. But if you add clitoral stimulation to that, that number goes up to 70%. So like something like this is a really effective way to get more out of, you know, the bedroom experience. So like, and it's not, again, it's not going to be scary. But I mean, even with this, right, now this is a bit big, but sex toys, they aren't doing the same thing as, you know, a body part, and a body part can't do the same thing as a sex toy, right? And so we kind of have to see sex toys as like these kind of add-ons or these extras that can just help you experience.
They're not a substitute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like different experiences, different sensations, you know, you can play with it in different ways. But I also always say, but you can like mix them together. So for example, I turn this on, put this under my chin and give a blowjob. Now I've changed the sensation of a blowjob altogether, where it's kind of like a real life masturbation sleeve, for example. Or if you don't want to hold it, you can have your partner put it at the back of your head. And like, that's again, the same thing. It changes sensation. If, for example, I was going to say one of you guys are, you know, giving oral, you know, you can put this in or put this like under your thing or at the back of your head. And again, it like will bring a little vibration to the tongue, which can add a different sensation to oral sex. So like, you know, there's, it's really important. This is where I say like, you know, learning how to add creativity into the bedroom in whatever way that is, you know, it's really good fun, you know. So anyway, I just have tips coming out of my ears, guys. I'll show you this, like this little one. I love this toy. It's one of my favorite ones at the moment. So you turn it on and basically there's an instant cooling feature or an instant heat feature. And basically it's kind of, do you know the way people would talk about like adding ice cubes to foreplay, or to like, you know, you hold ice cubes in your mouth and then you kiss the person. So like this is doing the same thing, only it does it all on this little panel. So like you turn it on, you can add, it might not turn on now because it was on earlier for ages. I was not using it on myself. it actually was on in the bag and I didn't realize. But like you turn it on and then it goes, oh, it's starting to go cold there now. You can rub it on your hand.
Well, it's freezing, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like adding ice cubes or like heat to the bedroom without actually the kind of mess of it.
So it goes hot as well.
Yeah, it goes hot as well. The other button goes hot. And like the thing about like temperature play.
What story with that? That's like a massage gun.
Yeah, yeah.
That's such like wads and
sorry,
all.
Sorry. Do you know the massage guns? Are they like €300 in the shops?
Yeah.
This thing is €80.
Yeah, but that's probably diesel powered. The size of that.
Yeah, but it's more. But I always say like it's cheaper than these massage guns. Like get them, and you know it does the same job. You know, I always say like if you're looking for something and it's kind of like a vibration thing, it probably exists in the sex toy world at a way cheaper price. Just FYI. But like when it comes to temperature play, for example, a lot of people can experience numbness to sensation. So like whatever reason that is, like, but the general rule of thumb is that cool helps you notice and then heat helps you relax, right? So if you think about like when we're more relaxed, we've got more blood flowing. I would say more blood equals more sensation and more sensation equals more pleasure, right? But when we think about like adding a cool sensation, any touch that follows the coolness will be more heightened because the coolness, what it's doing to your skin is like almost making you alert, right? So any touch that follows that will become really, really heightened and very, very intense. So I say like when people are trying something like this out, it's like, you know, for example, oral sex, like you can hold the ice cubes in your mouth, you can spit them out and then you've got like a cool mouth and you can, you know, go ahead like with oral. Never use an ice cube directly on a body part. I was like, God, I should tell people that part. Like, do you know in Dumb and Dumber when they stick their tongue to the people, like, it's like, so you don't want to ever do that. So you've got like a safe way to play with temperature play. So you put this on the clitoris, for example, or around the clitoris. Any touch that follows that is going to become really, really heightened, very intense. So it's like a really interesting way to kind of play with intensifying orgasms or, you know, just having orgasms in general, you know?
Yeah.
So again, all these tips, guys.
And where can people get them, Jenny?
All of these are on my store. Yeah. Right. So the O Moment, oh-moment.com. Yeah.
Right.
Or if you're just on Instagram, you know, hello, Jenny Keane. I've got all the links there as well. So
yeah, just go on to Jenny's page.
Yeah. Jenny, I was actually at one of your shows in the Sugar Club.
And I remember.
It was great for like the first, I'd say 80% of it was class. And then it's like the last 20% you copped, I was in the crowd. I was like, Jenny, no.
I did.
She was going like through the crowd with the microphone, grabbing people and all. And then she went past me. I was like, lovely. And she turned back and see me. I was like, oh no. Fucking gas.
Well, your partner did get a giveaway toy.
She did, yeah. And we have participated in your online courses as well.
Yeah. Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
amazing. Yeah. I love that.
And they were good crack as well.
Yeah, they are good crack, aren't they? I'm glad to hear that.
You were very serious.
Was I?
Not that like, no, everyone sit down and be quiet. It was just like, that was you in like walk mode. You're like, this is what we're here for. I'm going to show you this, bang, 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 bang. And I was like, oh, you know,
is this in the show or online?
Online. Now, in fairness, you're the only one there. It's just you on the camera. Yeah. So you, obviously you can't see what's happening, but it's just like, this is what we're here for. This is here to get done. Yeah. And it's just like, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, bang. And that's how that works. And might go this way. And I was like, fuck, like it really is a lesson.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
The good thing I like about it, that's kind of gone back to the start, what I was saying about men and sex. It's like, there's parts that you don't know and you never would have known. So like, you're not the expert, you know what I mean? Like, you're the expert there.
Yeah.
That's what the best thing about it is. So like, if you're saying this is how something works, that is how it works. No matter what we thought we were doing right, what you're doing is the right way of doing it.
Oh, but you know what I will say about that is that, you know, pleasure is also so unique, you know? And so what I will say is that, like, you know, it's almost like, you know, learn the rules and then learn how to break them. Do you know the kind of way? So it's a similar kind of thing. You know, even if I say like, this is this and this is the research, what I will also always say is like, you should be listening to your body first and foremost. If something works different for you, then that's totally okay as well. You know, I always think like learning about how your body functions, like learning about how arousal works, learning about pleasure pathways, like when you learn the basics, you actually learn how to play and you can do all these combos. Like the champagne combo is one for, you know, when you're ready, like you're ready to end it, you know, and you're just like, this is gonna go from exactly, like this is gonna go from 0 to 100 very, very quickly. But like, you know, these are really important skills to have, right? Because sometimes you want sex to end. Like, this is really common. Sometimes you're like, I'm done now. I'm finished in this situation. And like, for a lot of people, their only kind of option is, let's fake an orgasm here so that the other person orgasms and then we can end this situation, you know, something like this. Whereas if you know how your body functions, you know how to end an experience early if you need to end an experience early, right? If you're not really into it or you're just finished, like you've had your fill of pleasure and you're like, that was great for me, now I'm finished. Or the opposite is also true if you want to know how to extend it, you know, the kind of way. So you have all of these options that you can have when you learn how your body functions. And this is why I really, you know, like I'm a geek about like anatomy and physiology, and I'm like, oh my god, how could I learn more about how this works? Because as I said, like, you learn the rules and then you learn how to break them as a result of knowing all this information. And this is where I always think, you know, science can be really unsexy, you know, learning anatomy can be very like tedious and boring, but like if you have someone that's able to teach it to you in a way that's good fun, you remember it, you know, for specific reasons.
But I think that's why they do so well as well, is because not only do you know a lot, you're having the crack while you're doing it. You're making it easy for people to want to learn.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Where it's not like a sense like, oh, I have to go and listen to Jenny Keane about how to do this. It's not one of them things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Hello, Jenny Keane on Instagram.
Yeah.
Go over to our page. Have a gander. Go on to
o-moment.com.
You didn't forget that when you have a plan of mine. And Jenny, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure as always.
Yeah, we really could be here all night talking about this.
I know, we could.
There's so much to go through.
And sorry, I love that, like, you know, normally when I do interviews, there's a plan, like there's a call beforehand, like you plan it all out, like, what are we going to say? We're going to do this, this, and this. Whereas like with you guys, it's like no plan whatsoever. And I was like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. A conversation.
Like, I only seen you shared a joke yesterday saying that they've only mapped the nerves of the clitoris now. And I was like, I don't even know how... Like, when do you bring that up? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and is there even a point? You know what I mean? Like, what does that even mean? You know what I mean?
Well, it's just, do you know what? It's just scientific confirmation of what we already kind of knew. So basically what they did in the clitoris is that they have made medical imaging of the clitoris and also the nerves in the clitoris. This is 30 years after they did the same thing for the penis, FYI. It's like, come on, you know, but I'm always like, you know, better late than never, you know. And so something that they learned was that normally we thought that the dorsal nerve, which is kind of known as like the pleasure nerve, right? So normally the dorsal nerve, we thought that faded out as it got to kind of like the bulb, so the little button that you see on the outside, that the clitoris, but actually it doesn't. It stays big, it stays thick. And so that means that like the nerve stays active and it's like very heightened potency as well, like in terms of sensation and pleasure, but also that the nerve branches out in five different directions. The clitoris is actually an entire structure. So it wraps around the kind of opening of the vaginal canal, around the lips and whatnot. And so what they learned is that the nerve stays innervated and thick right to the tip of this, but also spreads out in five different directions. It goes around the labia, so the inner lips and the outer lips. They're really, really good for sensitivity, but also around what's called the mons pubis. That's like the kind of really firm part just above the clitoris on the pubic bone. It's actually, if you really like the sensation of grinding, then this is where like you're feeling a lot of sensation around the mons pubis. And so this is really important because it means that this entire area is important when it comes to stimulation. So not just this, you know, because most of us just go for this part and go like, you know, that kind of way. So it's about like really spreading sensation, and it's like helping to kind of feel even more pleasure. So yeah, I mean, I always say like we already knew this, you know, experientially and, you know, anecdotally from, you know, people who were saying this feels good, you know, when you do this, when you, you know, are up here. But now we have a like medical and scientific backup, you know, to that, which is important.
That's why you're the best at what you do, Jenny. Honestly. Like, but like, to see how passionate she got about explaining.
That's what I'm saying as well. People can
like,
feel that.
The pubis corbius. Yeah. Like, who says that and with such passion?
It's also called the mound of Venus. It's easier to remember.
Yeah.
I think that's it then.
Yeah, is yeah.
And well, you need to plug, Jenny.
It's the third time I'm trying to wrap her up. We'll go again.
Yeah, I was about to say,
Don't let her reach back down for that bag.
Just stop me talking, guys, please.
I'm afraid what else you're going to take out of the bag, Jenny. That's the truth. Is there anything else you need to plug while you're here?
No,
I want to plug.
No, I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for coming in, Jenny.
Yeah. Legend.
Honestly. Right, that's it then. Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa, sorted. Beds, covered. Dining table, six chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie, and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you, and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down, go down.